Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everybody, welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen, and good morning to you, Neil.
Good morning.
Today we are, as always, taking calls for on-air psychic readings and discussing the origin of the origin and interpretation of psychic data. So we're going to be discussing that and getting to our callers shortly. We do have callers waiting in the queue. Those of you who are waiting in the queue, please do press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. We do answer our calls normally at about 15 to 20 minutes after our show starts. So please wait in line because we will be getting to you after our topic. We invite you to join us on Facebook and on Blog Talk Radio. Those accounts, the Facebook accounts are linked under our Blog Talk Radio profile. So please do find that, follow Neil and Kristen Baker, and like Neil Baker Psychic. We would really appreciate it. And you can follow us here on Blog Talk Radio as well. 914-338-0164 is the call-in number. And again, please press 1. 608, you have not pressed 1. So we're not sure if you're just listening or would like a reading. Oftentimes people forget to press 1, even when I'm telling them to do so. Okay, so anyway, we were kind of getting into this a little bit on the last show, Neil. But we ran out of time. So
on the topic of
origin of psychic information.
Well, I think this is a topic that anyone who is interested in metaphysics, the astral realm, psychic energy, it should really pay attention, because our brains, we're coded with a certain amount of information. First of all, our brains are geared for learning. So we do have learning abilities in our brain, so that we can learn to speak, to reason, to retain, to memorize, and to advance that into original thinking. That's where our active brain is. That's where our physical brain is. Our brain also comes in with certain amounts of instincts, just like the animals, and most of that is in regard to reacting to the environment, our instincts to cry, to feel pain as well. All of that is kind of coded in the brain. We're not really discussing that part of the brain. What we're talking about is the cosmic element of the brain, mainly being in the pineal gland, where there is stored cosmic information. Now, that is information regarding the existence outside of the earth.
Right. So when we're connecting with, not all, the cosmic part of our brain, there's going to be psychic information stored in that we're going to be able to access. But also we're going to have the opportunity to connect with beings that are cosmic, that have information that they can bring to us that is not stored in our brain.
All of that is included, and as well as it pertains to the earth, our past life energies and the blueprint that we have established for our life on the planet prior to coming down here into a bodily form.
Right, which also is stored in the birth date code. The codes, there's information in our codes. We can't get too much into that on the show, but
no, we can't. But picture, in most homes, or at least in theory, we have closets, we have basements, we have attics. Sometimes we have places in the house that is inaccessible to normal traffic or normal reach and grasp of our physicality, Well, the parts of our brain that are cosmic are sort of locked up. They're in storage. And they don't immediately come into our consciousness because in being on the planet, number one, our cosmic self, our being, is locked inside of a body. And that body, of course, has limitations. Limitations of movement, limitations of breath, limitations of life itself. And those limitations counteract the eternal quality of the cosmic nature of our mind. So it is like this great, great eternal secret is locked inside of our brain, and it will stay secret to some extent until we are fully released from the body. Now, in sleep and after projecting and in the development of understanding the pineal gland and the sixth chakra, we can open up those doors, so to speak, and tap into parts of that knowledge. That's where mediums and psychics and seers and prophets and intuitives and healers and people like that, they get into those things. Indeed, people who are also political analysts that try to grasp the future, the political stage or the scientific stage, if you will, they get into that a little bit as well, although it's not immediately cosmic in nature.
So scientists too. I mean, aside from political analysts,
to some extent.
Yeah.
I mean,
that, on a cerebral level.
On a cerebral level, and that's more or less in the element of the organic brain, the intelligence of the brain, which sometimes has access to this eternal information, like an Einstein might have, or a Stephen Hawking. But, you know, we're not equating this to religion, because they can be atheists as well. But the idea that we all have this organic, cosmic section of our brain that we keep inside of ourselves, that we don't really have full access to, but we still retain, is vital to our existence. Because the vibration, it's not dead. It's not even sleeping. It's just encaptured. And the vibration of those energies sends out a certain frequency to our bodies to any degree of level to which we either receive it and explore it, or we inhibit it and fight it and try to logically say, well, you know, that was a coincidence. You know, I don't really believe in anything I can't see. Well, human beings, to some extent, either act positively or negatively to this cosmic intelligence that each person holds. Were you going to say something?
No, I'm just watching the switchboard, which, you know, I think people get impatient for their readings. And that's, you know, unfortunately, the way we conduct the show is that
people are eager to hear their life and they want to get on with their questions. Very few of our callers respond immediately to our discussions. So, you know, that's neither here nor there. This is a service we present to the public. And so, you know, it would be wise for our callers to also bear with us and listen.
Bear with
and
us. There might be something to learn.
Might be, other than, you know, when my boyfriend coming or you know, whatever. Not that those things aren't important, but by God, I mean, open up your brains and try to learn something.
So anyway, you were saying, Neil, you know, it's funny because yes, some people are limited in their belief of the existence of psychic information. People are very concrete, but then you have the other side of the coin, people who are maybe too liberal or lenient liberal lenient is probably not the right way to say it, but people may have too much faith in their ability to be psychic and then start to, you know, use the imagination to illustrate, you know, their psychic skills rather than truly be connected to psychic information. Because when you're getting into becoming really psychic and connecting with that part of your brain, you know, you've got to let your ego go, because you're not going to connect with anything higher if that is blocking the process.
Yeah, to a great extent. I mean, true channeling or true connection to the outside realm is a very different kind of relationship than what one might have with oneself, tapping into their own imaginary abilities or their own internal psychic abilities. There's a difference between some people are gifted intuitively, and that comes
right.
off as being
psychic. Which are two totally different things. I mean, intuition is the beginning of psychic
yes.
energy. It's the beginning, but that's just a start. You've got to go deeper into
yeah.
the brain.
And that's
really
not
get...
to say that. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of human beings who connect to the outside realms and to the astral realms. We're not implying that there aren't. We're just saying that to have access to a cosmic universe, one has to get outside of their body. That means that there's not really a concern about one's ego intentions, one's desires, one's aspirations. You're in a realm that is actually outside of the body needs and the body desires. Now, that information is coming from an element where there are beings without bodies. They have either transcended the planet, or they have never had bodies, and their energy is coded with universal principles, cosmic principles, and things like this. And when that information comes down, sometimes there is a filtering of information that it contributes to our earthly walk. And that is still vital and important. But the true information that we establish is really about, the purity of this is about spirit. And first of all, you have to have that abstract mind to grasp that there is truly a spirit, and it is not just the content of a higher intelligence or our minds able to grasp abstractions and metaphors and the likelihood that there might be some kind of spiritual essence in a human being because, you know, oh, we have spirit. Oh, the spirit of America. Oh, it's more than that, because when we get into the literal aspects of spirit, we're not even talking about a human quality or an earthly condition. We're talking about something
right.
way outside of the body that is coded with other kinds of otherworldly information.
Well, and it becomes difficult to define because we are, in fact, human. So, you know, our interpretation is going to go through the human brain. So it's challenging to be able to put words to what spirit actually is.
Yeah.
And not bring it down to a human level.
Yeah, and that's why it's challenging as we are in our bodies, that we're trying to connect to the eternal part of ourselves, not the conditional part that is going to die and ultimately rot away, along with our active organic brain. What we're talking about is something that our souls and our spirits inhabit that we can have access to if we go deep enough into those darker chambers of our mind where the pineal gland is thereby residing.
Okay. Let's pause for a moment. We'll take a caller and then perhaps we'll have a chance to get back to our discussion. Who knows? 608, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Jill.
Hi, Jill.
Okay, my question is I live in the housing authority where I have subsidized housing. I've had problems from day one with my case manager. She doesn't do her paperwork. She doesn't get back to you. There's been problems every time there's a rent change. The last time she lied and said that she didn't get my paperwork when she did. I've tried to talk to the manager. I've been blown off. Now the manager calls me this morning and said I called her yesterday and wanted a meeting when I never did.
Okay. So, Jill, let me just ask a question. You're in subsidized housing right now, you're saying, right?
Yes.
And you have a case manager that you're dealing with. What specific issue are you trying to resolve with your case manager that you're having difficulty with?
She doesn't answer your questions. She doesn't return your calls. She doesn't get
I got
her work
that.
done.
I got
and
that.
And then
but
it falls
what
on
issue?
You when when your rent what isn't issue, paid correctly.
What issue are you what are you trying to resolve specifically, though? I understand that she's difficult, but it sounds like there's a reason you're asking the questions, you know, and sending her emails or whatever it is.
Okay, I'm just wondering why the head person called me this morning, said I called her yesterday and wanted to see her when I have asked 2 weeks ago and a few times before that. Why all of a sudden is she making this up?
Okay, so you didn't really want to have a meeting with her.
I did, but the last time I asked was 2 weeks ago. Now she's insisting I called her yesterday to set up a meeting, and I didn't.
She's probably covering for herself, not handling the request promptly. What was the nature of the meeting request?
Well, apparently I had a rent change, and then I put it in really early enough, and then my case manager at the last minute told me she didn't have all my paperwork when I knew she did. And then I was upset about it, and I kept emailing and calling. And so they told me I can't complain anymore or I can get evicted.
So were they?
But she's not doing her job, and she's lying.
Wow. That sounds really difficult. Has the rent increased? Is that what you're protesting here?
No, I work with the school district, so I'm off for 3 months. So it decreases.
Oh. So it decreases. And,
yes.
Okay. Well, which is good, but then there's an issue with her communication or establishing some kind of, structure to the rent change, the reduction versus the increase. What is your birth date, Jill, by the way?
12/17/60.
12/17/60.
And then what is going to happen? So I said, sure, I'll meet with you. So I'm going to meet with the head person on Friday. What the heck, right?
Right.
Well, since you're meeting with the head person on, what is it, Friday?
Friday.
You know, your issues may be resolved there. It seems like there's a, you know, it seems like there's a communication problem here. And whether the project manager or the case manager is doing her duties in a reliable fashion, I wouldn't go about that. I would just get the issue resolved, because if this is her job and this is what she does, you're probably going to get more mileage out of not blaming her or talking about the difficulties than by saying, well, let's get the issue solved and resolved. It's always good to keep records of your conversations when you spoke to somebody and the date and time, and a brief note taking about what the content of the dialogue was about. And, you know, because she can't substantiate, unless she got an actual call from you or a text from you, that you did indeed try to reach her yesterday. So if she can't substantiate that or prove that, it's irrelevant, really. But if you can, do the same. So if you do text her, save your texts, you know, save your phone calls, put the date and time in, and essentially notes as to what was said. And then that gives you a good indication that you're credible and you have some documented proof of some sort. I don't think this is going to, this shouldn't blow up into a big issue, Jill. I think that it's an easy way to resolve it. I think what you have to do, if this woman is difficult, which she seems to be, what I've learned with difficult people, you have two ways of going about this. You either let them know you're their friends, and you change the energy chemistry between the two of you. And that might take a big step on your part, but you just start acting interested. And pretty soon, most people take a liking. Not all, but most people will say, okay, my guard is down, and it seems like there's friendly tones going on, so I'll see what I can do to help. Unless you get a really evil, dark, mean, malicious person who just has it in for you. I mean, that's a different matter. I think this has become a process of miscommunication that blew up and got ugly.
What exactly, though, Jill, are you seeking from, like, in terms of resolution? Because I don't think we're clear on that.
When that my paperwork gets done on, I feel like I'm being retaliated against. Because
so,
I have complained about this person not doing her job and then how it's affecting me and my rent. And then now I feel like she didn't do my paperwork at all this time. And then she lied and said I didn't turn in a paper that I needed to when I know I did.
So you're already having this there's hostility between the two of you that's established. So turning it, like Neil was saying, into a friendly relationship is going to be a bit more challenging than, you know, had there not been previous complaints, which you're entitled to do for sure. But maybe sometimes they say, you know, it's easier to catch flies with honey.
Well, you know, Jill, you work in the school district. Make copies of everything you send in. Say one of six pages. You know, just use common sense. Document if this is your housing and what's important to you, then it's important for you to take that extra step to document everything, to copy things, you know, that kind of thing. If she can't, she can claim whatever she wants and you can claim whatever you want, but you need documentation. I think if there's a manager above her, then her job is to referee between the two and you know, make things run smooth again. I probably wouldn't advise you to go into battle with her because you're outranked by her. And she hasn't really done anything that you're going to be able to prove to oust her out of her position, I don't feel. So it's much better that you cooperate with her. And maybe by showing the other manager that you're
reasonable.
I'm sorry?
I'm reasonable.
Yeah, that you're reasonable.
And I'm easy to work with.
That's what I'm saying. You're easy to work with. You're calm. You're rational. You just want this cleared up. You don't have it in for anybody. I'm sure she, you know, you just say, I'm sure she's doing her job. I just find that the results haven't been up to par. And it's caused me frustration and some kind of conflict within my housing conditions. And I want peace of mind. And so, you know, of course people are going to agree. Oh, no, you can't have peace of mind. Of course they're going to agree. So if these wheels start turning smoothly, I think it's all going to be resolved. I would probably not go on the offense and attack her right now. It just, you may think, well, I should. I got some good points. I don't know if I would do that at the moment. You're much going to be better off seeking cooperation and gaining it from the higher manager that she's presiding over everything, because if she sees things clearly, and from that point on, she's going to be able to gauge who the troublemakers are.
As far as submitting your paperwork in the future, are you able to do so electronically so there's a timestamp and you can prove?
Okay, what I did do, because I am in the school district, when I started having problems, I started doing emails. So a lot of the stuff is already documented that they are not working with me.
Yeah.
So is that why she wants to meet with me, because I have evidence? I've already written a letter that she's not working with me, so I already have documentation. So are they afraid now?
Have you spoken to this higher manager yet?
Well, I asked three times if I could, which the last time was 2 weeks ago. Now she calls me up this morning and says I called her yesterday to meet with her, and I never called her yesterday.
So are these two different people that you're talking about?
Well, there's a person that works with your paperwork, and then there's a head person. So the head person called me this morning to say I called her yesterday and wanted to meet with her. I know I didn't. I checked my caller ID just to make sure I wasn't crazy.
Well, you know what?
I didn't.
You know, Jill, so what? So you say, well, there must be a misunderstanding. I apologize.
But yeah,
that.
You do want to meet.
I say, I do want to meet.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Yeah, you just say, I'm looking forward to it. Don't argue with her.
Yeah, because that's just
that's
not even important. At least you're getting a meeting.
Yeah, you're getting a meeting. Say, I'm sorry. I there must be a misunderstanding, but that's fine. I'm so glad you're willing to meet with me. And so I can discuss this case. And she'll say, okay. And just let her feel that you respect her position. This is going to be the best thing for you to do. And that, you know, she'll want to repay you in kind. that's what our kind of energy field is here for you. So hopefully you'll get an appointment. You'll meet with her. You'll be your rational self. You'll listen. You won't get defensive. And you'll clear the air and get what you need here. Okay?
Okay, okay, so you see the meeting going well then.
I see the meeting going well contingent on some of the responsibility that you may have to take not to get argumentative. Now, that may be hard for you to do because maybe some topics might come up that you just feel you need to defend yourself with. But just try to get a new start. Don't be argumentative. Be positive. Say how much you love working, living there and all that kind of business. And yes, and I see the meeting going well.
Okay, Jill. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, 551 is our next caller. Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is T.
I'm sorry?
Yes.
T-E-E?
Yes, exactly how you spell it.
Okay, can you just make sure you're talking right into your receiver because you sound very quiet.
Okay, can you hear me?
Not that well. Are you on a headset?
Yes, I am. Let me see.
Yeah, that can you get off? That's probably why we're having a problem. Is it possible to get off the headset? Or no?
Hello?
Hi, better.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, T, hi. What's your birth date?
12/9/88.
I'm sorry? Hard to hear.
12/9/88.
Okay, and what brings you to the show today?
To figure my life out as far as career. I know that right now how I'm feeling like it's time for something extremely different, like my desires are changing. And I just want to know, what do you see for me so I can know what direction to go into, because I have so many ideas.
So it's interesting because you're going to be 29, is that right?
Yes.
You're going to be 29. So you're did you get 38112? Did I add that up right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So your karmic and master number 38112. So you haven't reached the age of 38 yet, T, but you are actually 29 years old, which is a multiple of 11. Well, it's not a multiple of 11. It's the sum of 11. 9 and 2 is 11.
Yeah, it's in her second.
Right. And it's in your second and third number. Which is on your karmic side. So you're asking about changes in job. Are you at work right now, by the way?
Yes, I am.
That's why you're talking.
I am
I heard
like
the
I'm
phone.
Strangled. Yeah.
Huh?
No, you know how you feel like you're being like held down. It's just like right now, oil you in water and it doesn't feel right.
Right. Yeah. What kind of work are you doing?
Social work.
Social work. Are you a social worker?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And so you want, and you don't, are you not happy with that type of?
If I wasn't the person who I am, it would be perfect. You know, it's comfortable. However, it's just not good enough for me. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel like I'm walking a purpose, not here. At least.
Well, you have contact with family, children, and things like that, and do you feel like you're not making an impact because of the confines of the system that you're working in?
No, it's not even that. It just does not feel right. It's boring. I'm more of a person who thinks abstract, and I just feel really confined right now, really confined.
So, T, did you get your degree, and did you get an actual degree in social work?
Yeah, I did the whole thing. It's just like I have accepted that, you know, did all of that, and I spent.
Have you been doing this work for? Have you been doing this work for at least 6 years?
Want to say, like, no, it's only been four, but what? I'm not feeling it.
You're not feeling, what? So it was 4 years you've been doing this work, and was there 2 years prior to that when you were obtaining your bachelor's?
Yes, my master's, yeah.
Yeah, what? So her bachelor's.
Her bachelor's?
You have your master's?
No, my master's.
Mm-hmm. Your master's, so you're getting the master's for probably 2-year program, right?
Well, that's, yeah, I did the undergrad and the master's.
Yeah.
Right, but
so
that's the 4+2, 6.
Year. So that's where the 6 years. Well, you know, you're an abstract person, and you're wanting to branch out maybe into something different. But you went, this degree that you got and the work you're doing is probably a karmic situation that came into your being because you have a consciousness about society and about human mm-hmm. beings. And so you need that energy. What you're getting swept up in is the bureaucratic stuff and everything that tears away from the intimacy and the depth of what you're trying to do. So, you know, you need to probably get into a more active program in social work that involves a intense human interaction with families and children,
like,
but
counseling.
More on an active level in the field.
Does she want to stay in social work though? I mean,
No, I'm over it.
You're over it. Why did you get involved in this field? What are you not getting out of it that you were originally seeking?
Well, you know what? To be honest, I was at this place before a couple of years ago, and you know, I was trying to figure out. I was getting out of school. I had a psychology degree. Trying to figure out, you know, to get a job, but now I see it's not about a job. It's about fulfillment and purpose.
Like Neil said, it was kind of a karmic situation that led you into this field, and you're not even finding passion within it or any interest in what you're doing, apparently.
Yeah.
So what is it that you're looking to do?
I'm more of a speaker. I like to learn things. I'm really big on learning about, you know, natural health, holistic ways, really spending a lot of time in nature.
I'm
thinking
about
being a holistic
doctor,
maybe.
I understand. So you have a degree, so you have some backing in the aspect of social work is also about the well-being of life, especially under social conditions. You're going more into the body and the health and the consciousness of one's being, which can be pertained to even your topic at hand, because holistically speaking, the true holistic human being is not only complete within himself, but complete within his or her environment. So for you mm-hmm. to start working and incorporating ideas of society within the individual, because, I mean, it's all a process. We just aren't holistic beings. We connect to farmers. We connect to plants. We connect to animals. We connect to the industry. It's a holistically speaking, we just can't think that we're an island and that's all there is. We're the only thing on the planet. So if you want to really grasp and get deep into the center of what you're trying to do and to break new ground and to formulate a program or a place where you can speak, then you've got to talk about the holistic nature of human beings in terms of their society. Because you have an incorporation of your mind, which can take your education, your master's, can be incorporated into an holistic program whereby you're not just telling a person how to be within themselves, but how to be within themselves in relationship to their environment and to society at large. I mean, there's a whole consciousness raising right now where we can't use certain words, we can't use certain actions. Everybody's being misunderstood. Our very right of freedom, as we express true free expression, we're also fighting free expression by the very inhibitions that we're establishing upon one another, being careful not to offend our fellow human being. So what you've got to get into is a deeper analysis of what holistic health, holistic being is really all about, because I think it's a contribution of all things.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to say something.
No, I really wasn't. I mean, you know, except for the fact that the timing of the call, in terms of that 2-9 and a change that's going on in her life, reexamining her career is, and that 2-9 isn't the karma, and she's going to be 29 years old in December. So that's forthcoming. So it's not a surprise that she's looking at, you know, or reevaluating her place in the world at this time.
Because I don't see it. I can't do this anymore. Like, it's just,
you're miserable. But I mean, it's also about, you know, being able to go into a field. I mean, obviously you've got a master's degree, and the area that you're trying to enter is totally different than what your education, and you can make career changes, of course, but you've got to figure out, you know, what it is that you want to do and make sure you're able to sustain yourself. The field of holistic health and, you know, healing is a very saturated field. We talk to so many people that want to do that or are doing it. So you've got to find your niche. Go ahead.
Well, anything we said, does it sink in, anything that we've discussed so far for you?
Yeah, but the thing is, I'm just really trying to get like idea, because I've been thinking, searching, and all I know is I can identify with some of them not wanting to, like the 9-to-5 thing when. In the country, right? I don't do that.
Are you skilled at writing? Are you a good writer?
Yes.
Well, why don't you start putting down some of your ideas about, you know, do some research, put down some ideas, maybe compose a small pamphlet or a book, self-published, and use that as your manual or your speaking platform, to where you can start to activate an audience and maybe get a few free lectures going. And, you know, you have to look for a new slant on this. And since you do have a background in social work and you want to switch to more of a holistic healing energy and working with the body and everything like that, I think it's all interconnected, T. You've got to do some more. You've got to do some academic research.
Research, for sure.
And you have to start to formulate a T research program, a T manual. You know, you got, if you're skilled and you've mastered a master's and you have good writing skills and you want to do public speaking, this is a no-brainer.
What is your master's in?
Social work.
It is in social work, and then your BA is in psychology.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, even fusing together the holistic healing with the social work in terms of, you know, how holistic healing can help families.
How can you be? I'm saying, like, I can do that, but I'm trying to find, like, how can you be free? Like, I need to be free of this. It's like the confinement. It's like I can't think. I can't work like a regular 9. Like a 9-to-5. I have to be, I can work around the clock, but just like a set schedule, that's, I can't do that.
T, you have to become self-employed. And that means you have to be, self-employment is having self-income. You're not dependent or reliant on anybody. And you've got to start to build your own business.
Right, because, I mean, you're not going to be able to, unless you go to another, I mean, you'd have to go to another job in terms of leaving this job at this present moment. There's no way to get out of this job if you need it to support yourself until you've built your, you know, built your career in your own, you know, in your own business.
You have your interest in mind. You seem to know what you want to do. And now what you got to do is turn it into a business. So maybe you might need a business consultant to how to get started and get on the internet and get yourself out. You need to have a program. You need to have some written material. I mean, it's not just because you have this desire to do it And then you sit on your chair and you go, well, gee, now what do I do? You know, I'm just not happy. I'm not happy. You don't want to sound like a broken record. You got to get active.
What do you live in your own place? Do you live with parents
mm-hmm.
or so you're on your
mm-hmm.
own?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is
so
very,
you're kind of,
I don't see a problem.
No.
I just don't see a problem, T. It's just activating yourself to be, to self-promote yourself, become self-employed,
mm-hmm.
an angle on your interest to where you're starting to gain an audience and you charge a small fee, you start doing lectures.
And she can use her
training.
Expertise and education to do it. So there's a way to tie it into what she already has to make her more more viable
yeah.
in the field she's in and credible. She's
okay.
silent. Do you have any ideas about what you exactly want to do, or is it just kind of, you know,
I have so many ideas. It's so many of them. I just gotta sit down and get them.
Well,
paper.
You know, so many ideas is worthless.
Yeah, you gotta
refine.
Pick
some of your ideas. You know, you still have so many ideas. What I'm getting from you is you're defeating your own purpose. You need to get specific. Pick one or two ideas you want, T, and start to activate it. Start to study the geographics. Try to understand
mm-hmm.
how you can utilize your interests and your desires into a commodity where you're self-employed and becoming self-sufficient.
Right, and she's becoming overwhelmed, I think, with her position, the fact that she's so unhappy with it, that it's causing her to be stuck and not able to, you know, develop her own ideas. You've got to get out of that or you're going to stay stuck.
Yeah. You know, some of this may be involved. Maybe it's your upbringing. Maybe somebody passed away. Maybe you're in mourning. Maybe you went through depression. Maybe you had a hard childhood. You know what? Really, get over it. Get over it and start. You want a new beginning. So start your beginning now. And don't start your beginning with a lot of muddled thoughts.
Was she saying something? What?
I was thinking about going to med school.
To what?
Medical school.
Medical school. Okay. I mean,
fine.
Great. You know, you can become a naturopath. I mean, aren't there medical doctors
that are naturopaths,
uh-huh. You know, medical doctors that do more holistic type of work, but they have their licenses. I mean, that's an idea. Getting, you know, financial aid so you're able to support yourself, maybe work a part-time job and, you know, live off student loans and go to school if you're able to get into medical school would be a way to sustain yourself and not have to stay in your current job.
Yeah. You know, T, pick your path, activate it, establish it, work it through, process it. I mean, you're going to be 29. I mean, by the time you're 34, you could already be established and on your way for the rest of your life in the possession.
How many years of medical school? Like she has a master's, but she's going to six years, I think. Right.
It all depends on what she wants to do.
Yeah, but if she wants to get an MD, you know.
Mm.
So you seem to be a very motivated person. You've established a master's at your age. You got it quite some time ago. And, you know, it's not a problem. You're not in a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You're in an opportunity. You're
mm-hmm.
in a whole new dream world that you can actualize, T. And thank God you're in that world. And it's all up to you. Prove to yourself, not to anybody else, but to yourself that you can activate this program and get it done as quickly as possible and be excited about it. You have too many confusing thoughts going on that are hampering you. So be direct.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a pair of scissors, I say, if you have a pair of scissors, then they better be sharp or they're worthless.
Hmm.
So
yeah.
If you're going to scissor your life, you know, cut through life and get to the core, make sure your scissors are sharp so you can get to the essence of what you want. And you'll be proud of yourself for doing so and not so confused that you know, you were doing a job with dull blades.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Hopefully this has helped a little bit at least, and maybe you know, sent you in a direction that can start manifesting, you know, the things that you want in your life and get you out of the situation you're in, T.
Yeah.
So good luck.
Thank you so much.
Keep us informed.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
And he can join us on Facebook and on Twitter and Blog Talk Radio as well. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different things she can do. Nurse practitioner, she can become a doctor, she could go into, you know, acupuncture. She's talking about the body. There's all kinds of different areas. I think it's like 5 years with residency.
Well, she should spend no more than a month making her mind up about which channel she wants to choose and then get on it. I mean, I think the more we procrastinate and then waste our time deliberating. I mean, some people take time to think things through. I get that. But you don't want to do it at the cost of your vital breath and living to where the decision-making is turning into procrastination and indecisive kind of stagnant energy. That's unhealthy. So, you know, I don't believe that we should be totally impulsive, but I do believe that the impulse, that pulse of our life should be activated to such a degree that when we make a decision, we work towards it diligently. And, you know, we were talking about some of this, even in T's case, right? Some of this is coded. I mean, the journey that she's taking through
right.
life, when we talk about a karma, a lot of people switch careers because the former career that they may have is karmically conditioned.
Exactly. And she has a long karma, 38.
Yeah.
So she's still in the thick of it. But like we were saying, that 29, her approaching age is on the karmic side. So the time for a change is probably a good one.
So, you know, in terms of the, I don't know if T's still listening.
No, she's not still listening. No.
Well, you know, in terms of when you look at a person's birth date.
I'm sorry, I've got a cough or something.
Got a cough.
Sorry about that.
When you look at a person's birth date, especially when you have eights going on in her case,
yeah,
and lower numbers, those lower numbers are about Earth, planet, the karma we have. Maybe this individual had a lot of karma to do with helping people, and you know, for 4 years, I think she's been doing it for 4 years, which is her master number twice. That might be sufficient
right.
for what
and,
she had to do for that
And two
purpose.
Years prior, which was the division of six, which is her master number two. You know,
yeah.
the 2 years of not medical school, but the master's degree.
And she's coming up to 9 years until she's 38, and nine is her fire
right.
number. So in that regard, she may be fulfilling a certain attitude of her energy prior to that great expanse of growth at the age of 38.
Right, which is a great expanse of growth because she's got great numbers on that side of her birth date. Those eights are really nice.
Yeah, I think that when we get into the idea of how we connect to the other side on a higher level, sometimes there is this brief journey that we take on an earthly level to try to attain to that space, because we have to remember this is a journey of the body, the mind, and the soul, and we go through those divisions accordingly.
Right. Oh, you're saying in terms of positioning yourself in your earthly walk, in a career that is supportive of a spiritual journey, rather than being. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, basically.
I mean, not everybody's going to be in the spiritual realm in terms of their career, but you know, it doesn't matter what line of work you're in, you're, you know, whatever you put into it and it, you know, can bring about a more spiritual journey.
It's true. I mean, I spent a lot of years studying kids due to my educational requirements, and you can see in the play of kids, you know, some of them want to be leaders. Some of them are followers. Some of them are very aggressive. Some are passive. When kids are out in the playground, you know, or when kids reenact on their street certain roles, one wants to be Superman, one wants to be a fireman, an army man, a nurse, whatever it may be, not to, you know, and for females too, you can see the energy of our, the origin of our brain, what we're geared towards, even in that sense of fanciful imaginary play, we tend to take on roles that we respect and admire well, yeah. To follow.
And some of us are, you know, as children are going to have more, more exposure or connection to what our future careers are going to be than others. Some people it's a longer process, and children, they're allowed to play. Some of us are, you know, very talented in certain areas at a young age and start training very early.
Yeah, it can happen. And then some, you know, we come across a lot of individuals who had formal training and they did it. And when they were, you know, 20, 21, they stopped doing it and they went on to something else.
Yeah, that's true.
So there's no formal rigid readout as to what the human nature is. I think we're in the pursuit of happiness, and the pursuit of our goals is inclined to be such that we seek deeper parts of our mind to try to establish exactly what we want and what we intend to be. And that doesn't mean that we don't have a crisis at hand. A lot of people who have built their whole careers and spent years and years, decades at what they do, and then suddenly
they let go. And they have to go through a complete reinvention of their
lives.
Right. So, I mean, in T's case, it seems dramatic because obviously she's gone through 6 years of schooling and she's saying, God, I'm totally unhappy in this career. And she spent all this time dedicating her study to that career, and now she's going through a change. But there are many people who are in much more, you know, that have dedicated a lot more time to their careers and have to completely switch. So it's not really that dramatic for her when you compare it to, you know, cases where people are 55 years old and have to reinvent themselves,
which is still, you know, entirely feasible. I mean, when you look at Kurt Douglas, he was not just an actor, he was a writer. He paints, he writes, he does it all. And at 99, I think he grew a ponytail and he told Michael Douglas, does it make me look younger? You know, there's no point in looking at the end of life like it's the end of life. Sometimes the end of life up until the very last minute can be a new beginning. Now we discuss, we're really working on some of these themes in the book that we're doing. We can't disclose too much about it.
No.
But inside of an individual's birth date are locked some of these very issues about life. I mean, a birth date is more than just a birth date.
Right. And they will be, they may remain locked for a lifetime, or, you know, they have the opportunity to be explored depending on the person's progress in terms of their code. So it's interesting, you know, what can be opened in terms of, you know, the over the course of a lifetime.
Yeah, I mean, we've been working on this book for, what, about 4 years? 4 years
yeah.
now?
Mm-hmm.
Going on 5. And have compiled...
How many years has it been? I think it will be 4 years.
About 4 years.
4 years coming up next in 18. So it's like 3.5, I think, at this point.
About 3.5 years we've been working on a book just about analyzing birth dates and exploring the depth of what that really means, plus expanding on what's already been written about birth dates and numerology and system of codes and things like that. I mean, this is a great undertaking. But to get to the core of something, what it requires is something that we both adhere to is discipline, consistency, and a deep commitment to the project at hand. You know, you almost have to sacrifice the other parts of your life when you're in the pursuit of something that's important. And when you delve into that and you go deeper into that, there are rewards from the astral realm. Kristen and I are constantly being rewarded via the astral realm.
Yes, that's true.
In terms of the interaction of energies and
spirits
and guides,
angels,
which is not a delusional principle that we have. It's a very objective attitude that we maintain in regards to our connection to the outer realms and how that contributes to our existence and how that matches our life codes, and in working together how that contributes to a whole sense of our purpose. You know, everyone's got to have a purpose. The one of the most immediate existential questions that human beings ask themselves is, what is our purpose? What is our purpose? Some people may say, well, to have fun. I just want to have fun.
Yeah, I've been hearing that a little bit lately from some people.
Well, there's nothing wrong with having fun.
No, I mean, I love fun, and I, but, you know, we love aesthetics and, you know, food and, you know, beauty of the earth and music.
But, you know, the purpose of existence is to probe existence. And existence has no, the depth of existence, there's no bottom. There's only a top. You can go to the bottom of existence and find there isn't a bottom, and you can go to the top of existence and find there isn't a top. There is an expansive energy, a channel that is endless,
right,
and circular
and
magical.
The meaning of life more than just enjoying the planet. Yes. I mean, there's so much more to life than just our physical existence. So it's something to keep in mind for everybody, I think,
that's
listening
right
to the show. More than just getting a boyfriend or getting a job, there's, you know, the fulfillment of spiritual energy. It's very important. So we are at the end of our show today. So we are back on air on Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thanks, everybody.